Hey guys, this is Nikki.
This is Sam.
Welcome back to So What? What's Next?
I spent the bag on the bundle. Turn around and take a flip and make a double. Listen, baby. With me, you ain't never gotta struggle. I'm in the game, 650. Catch a triple double. Watch it tumble. Tumble. Watch it tumble. Tumbling, tumbling, tumbling. This is coming in. Keep on tumbling. Watch it tumble. Tumble. Watch it tumble. Tumbling, tumbling, tumbling.
Hey Sam, how are you?
I am doing great. How are you? I just did a nice little 4 mile day today, feeling good, feeling great.
So what Sam is referencing, guys, is the 50 mile challenge that we have going for March. Started by the homie Palm Beach Post at Palm Beach Post on Twitter. If you follow him, go ahead and give him a quick little follow and a like. But there's a 50 mile challenge going on this month. I think it's what, like 15 of us in there? 15, 16 of us
in
there?
Yeah, I think it is 15, yeah.
And it's the first of 50. We all know Sam is cheating because he's already at 4 miles today.
I just don't understand. Every time a black person likes something, it has to turn into a conspiracy. Like, why do we have to do that? Why everything have to be a conspiracy?
Sam, just tell everybody that you cut the app on when you got to work. And you just leave it on all day. Just admit it.
I thought that once you start walking, don't the app stop? So if you run it on the treadmill, it says stop once you stop on the treadmill. And you have to hit the stop button and it cuts the whole workout out until you work out again.
So how do you cheat?
I did it the hard way. I got up this morning at about 4:30-ish and I went ahead and did 1 mile. I just kind of walked that mile, did a little running that mile, just kind of stretched myself out for this afternoon. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I might have did a little bit too much pre-workout. I'm still feeling a little itchy. You know, I might have to go in there and do the jump rope again because I still feel a little side effects of the pre-workout. So I think I'm going to cut that back to half a scoop. I think I'm going to half a scoop.
Yeah, you got to, because pre-workouts are tricky, right? Like, you know, the one that got me was, I think it's called Ghost. I think there's one that's called Ghost. And after I took that pre-workout, I spent the rest of my workout trying not to become a ghost. Because I was like, oh my God, my heart is about to explode.
Yeah.
Like that pre-workout was serious. It worked. It worked. But I was still like itchy even after, you know, the workout. Like I had to flush my system with water. I think I drank like a gallon and a half in order to actually feel normal again.
Yeah, I try to only do like the 6 ounces of water, you know, one scoop. But man, today it hit different. I was like, man,
no, you gotta put almost the whole 16 ounces in there.
Yeah, I didn't know that. So I guess tomorrow I'm gonna try to put it up to 12 ounces and put one scoop in there and try to make that work.
Cause see what happens. See what happens. but yeah, good luck, because I am going to demolish you in this challenge, just so you know.
Okay, let's see about that.
But yeah, I'm encouraged because everybody's jumping into it. You know, we coming off of Black History Month. So when the challenge came out for March, I was like, man, let's do it, because I am down 14 pounds so far this year.
Congratulations.
From January 1. Thank you. But that was because I gained a shit ton of weight last year. Like in 2020, I was fine. I gained weight. I lost it. And 2021, there were so many things happening. I think the pandemic actually caught up to me in 2021, because that's when I went on my whole binging and Uber Eats and ordering stuff like crazy.
We talked about Uber Eats. And, you know, you probably do eat your fill of lobster and shrimp on those private islands.
I see what we're doing. I see that we're starting early.
I had to slide that one there.
I see we're starting early. But how was your Black History Month? How was your February?
Black History Month was amazing. We got a black woman that's about to be appointed to the Supreme Court. Very excited.
I think we called it, right? Ketanji Brown Jackson. I think we called that.
You called it.
Oh, I might have.
You called it. So I'm excited about that. I'm all in.
Yeah, I think the one thing that I did before even mentioning her was you know, sometimes we're just so happy to see a black face in the space. Mm-hmm. Right. I was like, you know what, before I start, you know, celebrating her nomination, let me go look at some of her rulings. Because we know that all skin folk ain't kin folk. So I was like, let me go and check her out right quick. And I was like, nope, she's good. I'm good with her. Like,
okay.
There hasn't been anything, knock on wood, there hasn't been anything crazy that has popped up around any of her rulings, any of her, you know, stances or anything like that. So I'm encouraged, especially since she did scribe under Justice Breyer, the one who retired, the liberal justice that retired. So excited for Ketanji. I am hoping, you know,
it's been some hate within the Black men community about Black History Month, as far as like how it seemed like a lot of the sisters are going to the other side. A lot of this was happening during Black History Month. Like, I seen a picture with Taylor Rooks, might have been hanging out with a white billionaire.
I see this is what we're doing. So here's the thing, right? We know that, I think we discussed it before, all marriages are not based on purely on love, right? We know that some people marry because of love, some people marry because of
great situations.
You know, they marry into a good situation. Right. Some of these marriages are business arrangements, things of that nature. And sometimes you marry for advancement. Right. I think, you know, people were a little bit more solid on Kamala once they saw Doug, her husband, the second gentleman. I think with Ketanji Brown Jackson, no one was really well, if you're not familiar with her, you're surprised, because with a name like Ketanji, you're like, oh, you're married to someone who's non-Black. You know, if you hear the name Ketanji, the first thing you're thinking about is, oh, she's definitely married to a Black man.
Right.
And again, you know, you love who you love, as long as you're not bashing the other sex and or other race in order to justify it.
Right.
You know, I think everybody went up when Taylor Rooks was pictured with what's your boy's name? He's Twitter, Jack from Twitter, right? Yeah, and I was like, but y'all ain't had his energy with Rihanna when she was with the Muslim billionaire. Like, I didn't see this energy when Rihanna was with that billionaire.
But we knew what Rihanna, nothing lasts forever. We knew Rihanna would be back on the market. Like,
you knew there would still be a shot.
Yeah. But with Taylor, we just kind of put the congratulations GIF up with Tyrese.
I know. Congratulations. But I will say this, as a man, and I'm not even going to say a Black man, but as a man, if a billionaire heiress says, hey, I choose you, I select you, I don't know many people who are saying no.
Yeah. I mean, we can't get 100% mad at Taylor, but it just, she had waited to March 1st to make all these appearances and stuff.
You want
to
know what I find funny? What I find funny is the social media backlash around saying she's not as attractive as she used to be because she now dates a white man.
Man, that ain't true.
And I was like, no. I was like, mama is still snatched. That face is still sitting. And, you know, she's just literally beautiful. She's gorgeous. I'm like, you know, just let me know that, you know, obviously your sense of judgment is off, right? It's one of those situations where I was like, tell me you're mad without telling me you're mad.
That's just hating.
Yeah, that's plain hating. But yeah, she, you know, celebrate to these queens getting off with their non-Black partners, and
we gonna get this generational wealth one way or another. I know that's right. They've been infiltrating us. So it is what it is.
I get it. I truly understand. But speaking of Black History Month, or characters and moments and figures in Black history, have you been able to check out the Kanye West documentary, the Genius documentary on Netflix?
The Backpack Kid is back. Love it.
The Backpack Rapper.
Yes. Love it. Love the dog. It's so amazing. I you know what the thing I love about that doc the most is watching the people looks in the second gauges they give Kanye when he's trying to rap and he's trying to tell them how great he's gonna be, and like the way these people just looked at him is just like hilarious to me. Like, that's my favorite part of the whole doc. Like, okay.
Yeah, I think one of the things that stands out to me is His drive, his hunger, his tenacity, you know, it's kind of like, I'm going to find a way. Right. Nothing's going to hold me back. Nothing's going to stop me. Now, you know, I also love the fact that Kanye never came out and said, I kill, I steal, I sell drugs, right? Like,
he has to be the first, like, really mainstream, like
entertainer,
time rapper that didn't do the tough guy thing. He has to be right. I mean, he came out of the school of like Common and Mos Def, but they was never as big as Kanye.
I think we have to look at it from the approach of a generational time, right? So from our timeline, you know, mid to older 30s, like we look at music. Kanye is one of those artists that sticks out that was not that tough guy, gangster, killing, rapping type of person,
he
right?
He came up like, in hip-hop when that's what hip-hop was, like, really, like, all about. Like, you know, you got to think about 50 Cent had just jumped on the scene. You know, he had Trick Daddy, Plies, and everything about being as thuggish as you could be. And then he just kind of, like, came out of the West. You know what I'm saying? He just came out of nowhere.
Yeah, and I appreciate that artistry, because I feel like everybody has their story to tell. Yeah. That's the whole point of rapping. But I remember watching like Up Next and these different like little segments where they were mentioning Kanye West. So when they show it in the documentary, I'm like, I remember watching that. I remember seeing it live or when it aired. And I remember when they did, I think it was like Diary. Remember MTV used to have like Diary and they would follow people around and I remember watching the episode, and it was Kanye and his mom. And I remember he held up this painting, and this painting he held up was like the metronome, like which basically is the music. And when he said, I see music.
Yeah.
I was like, bro, he is not from here. He's an alien. He's not on this earth because he's like literally making paintings of music, right? What he's hearing in his head as a beat, and he actually sounded it out. And I was like, this dude is different. Like, he's absolutely different. Because, you know, I feel like you have to be truly touched in your brain, and not in a negative way, but truly touched on that mental level where, as an artist, you see things that aren't there and you make it happen.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, he was just a visionary. I just feel like he came out
as Quincy Jones. He was our Quincy Jones. He was our Dr. Dre. He was our... whatever super producer you can ever think of, he was our super producer that told. And you know what's funny about Kanye is, in rap music, it was always gangster rap. And it wasn't a lane for people that grew up in the hood, but that wasn't trying to be hood.
Yeah.
And that was Kanye. So
I mean, his mom was a doctor, right? She's a Dr. Rich with an education. But, you know, she had the means to support him in whatever he wanted to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, he could have... thankfully he didn't, but he could have failed and he had a parachute, right? He had something that was going to save him or protect him in the long run. But I think the way that she supported him, the way that people in his crew literally were like, hey, I'm going to take off from work and I'm just going to document this, right? Yeah. I'm going to put these projects on the side, or I'm not going to really advance my career, but I'm going to take the time needed in order to document what you have going on, because we believe in you. We believe in what you're doing and what you're going to, you know, accomplish.
He didn't really have any like hanger owners either. He had people that was all trying to do something. So it wasn't
that's
him.
Different, right? His circle, his circle literally were people who were also content creators that we call them now. Right.
Right.
You know, he had people in his circle that literally were pushing their own stuff, right? They were, doing photography. They were doing film. They were doing music. They were doing audio.
A young D-Ray, John Legend, young, you know, you know, it's crazy. I remember this. They had a VH1 special on him, and he had he was doing beats for people that he thought was talented. And they had a picture of these people. And if you look at this picture, they had the Game in there. Mm-hmm. So he was helping these people do their demos to send to these record companies. And a lot of them got their deals based on the beats and stuff that he was getting. They didn't, I don't think they put in a dot, which I really wish they would have highlighted that, because
yeah,
it was like they was all trying to get a deal. you know, and it was just, I mean, Kanye, you know, like I told somebody, they were talking crap about Kanye and stuff, and I was like, hey, man, you didn't write College Dropout, so... You know,
so and I think the backlash is, you know, as we were discussing before, like, you know, watching the documentary, you know, reminds me why I fell in love with his artistry, right?
Right.
Reminds me why I was bumping College Dropout as I was an undergrad. Reminds right. me as I'm pursuing my endeavors, like, okay, this was the soundtrack to life, right?
Right.
Like I tell people a lot of time, Neptunes, Kanye, T-Pain, Trick Daddy, Trina raised me, right? Because that's literally that adolescent, that teen to adulthood, like during that phase of my life, that's all I was literally listening to or vibing with, right? And I think as you watch the documentary, it makes us appreciate, you know, again, his ability to not give up on his dreams and to actually go and do everything exactly as he wants, exactly as he saw it. Any means necessary, like the sneaking in MTV to make the Through the Wire video, finding people who were on board to do these things, right? And that's the part I appreciate. That's the part that brings me back to like, damn, I really used to love this dude, right? The current actions, which I think they're going to get into in the next episode, right? Are the most recent actions that they're, that's not my favorite version of Kanye, right?
It's hard, and I think people are
struggling with the ability to celebrate the documentary with what's going on now or some of the things that he's said or how he's acting out. And I'm hoping that he finds the peace and help and solace that he needs in order to continue to heal and you know, go along his journey, his life's path. What I'm really hoping is that this is not a publicity stunt, because Kanye is key for having these different things or outbursts for him or Kim when things drop. Because when the outburst started, like a week or two later, Kim was announced as a spokesperson for Balenciaga. Then as the outburst increased, then we get more and more information around the Genius documentary that's about to drop, right? That's now active. Then we get the rant about Nori being on social media. Then we get all these other different things that are happening to make headlines. But then Donda 2 is dropping and this is happening. And, you know,
do you think the reason why he's having these see, it's hard for me, right? Because I've listened to so many docs with people talking about Kanye and so many things with him talking. And I think Kanye talks the way he sees music. I think the way he sees music and sees artistry is kind of like how he lived. So he's very passionate about certain things. And I also think that Kim has a big megaphone, right? And people side with Kim, right? She got a big megaphone. And I think sometimes he don't want some crazy perception of him. And I think he feels like he has to get on the attack, on the offensive, before he gets on the defensive. It's almost like, because even like when I was watching the doc, I kind of noticed him, like, think about it, he's with all these gangster rappers, right? And like this one dude was like, hey, Kanye, you're a great producer. I like the way you produce. And he was like, nah, man, I'm a producer and a rapper. Like,
and a rapper.
He like literally checking people that you would think, well, damn, dude, like you a backpack kid. You need to calm down a little bit. You know what I'm saying? But he just comes off like I just think the same thing that makes him a genius probably makes him hard to deal with, because he's really aggressive. And I think with his mom dying, because the only time you ever see him actually kind of tilt his head down and really listen is when his mom was actually speaking to him. Because even with Dame Dash and everybody around him, like, he liked to be in their presence, but he always kind of looked them dead in the eyes like, I'm finna arrive too. But with his mom, it was kind of like he always kind of like got smaller, you know?
So yeah, because he saw the other people as his peers, right?
Yeah.
He saw his mom as his oracle, right?
Right.
And that's what I said, you know, as someone who's lost their mother, like, I understand how difficult it is to navigate life without someone who, you know, has helped you to pilot.
If that's the only person that believed in you and drove you and
Bro, she knew his lyrics, even the whack lyrics. Like, she was able to sing and rap his songs with him, right? Like, and that's another thing that's touching, right? Like, the relationship he had with her. And I understand how fragile he could be after that, right? Because she was the one person who basically said, if you wanted to be a dinosaur, hey, I'm going to figure out how to make you a dinosaur. Like,
whatever you want to do.
Anything. She was literally like, hey, no matter what you want to do, hey, we're going to figure this out. We're going to do it. And I feel like she gave him that confidence to go out in the world and to be, you know, that braggadocious, you know, very, very high profile and prolific type of person. And I think we appreciated it because the art and the music matched up with it. Right.
Right. Right.
And I hate to say this. I know we got to get to another topic, but in my mind, I think some of Kanye's music, like, nothing's going to reach the height of College Dropout. College Dropout is what I think, what, 3-4 times?
Well, those, platinum, those three albums together is just one huge masterpiece.
It's just one, right. But College Dropout is literally, I want to say, at least 3 times platinum.
Yeah.
His other albums have not done the same amount of work as College Dropout. So I think a lot of times we're willing to let some things pass
for people
if we appreciate their artistry or they're keeping it at a certain level that we can write excuses for, right?
Right.
So if he gave us another College Dropout, we'd be like, oh no, him and Kim just having a situation. We wouldn't think of it as as verbal assault. We wouldn't think of it as, you know, him being psychotic and doing these crazy things. We would pass it off.
Right.
But you know, I'm excited to see how they continue to tell the story of Kanye West. I will still be tuned in. And you know, I think it just goes without saying that we can appreciate someone like Kanye West in his music, in his artistry, and still recognize that he's doing a lot of batshit crazy things to his soon-to-be ex-wife and the women that he's dating and these other things that are happening, right? I think, you know, when we look at an R. Kelly, when we look at a Bill Cosby, when we look at these people, we can't deny the impact these people have had on the culture. Mm-hmm. They are horrible people, but we can't deny the impact. Bill Cosby gave us Different World, gave us The Cosby Show. I mean, people still look at him as Heathcliff Huxtable, right? Yeah. R. Kelly has given us some of the most amazing music that he's ever written, produced, and arranged, but I mean, you know,
TP2 is, that's classic.
Not you reminiscing.
Kids was made off of TP2. Let's be real.
That R album is different, and I say that to say that these people are geniuses. They're magnificent in one area, and they are horrible scum of the earth in another. And that does the good works that they do don't absolve them of the degrading and horrific things that they've done to people and to others.
Do you think it's crazy? I don't put Kanye in those categories.
I think the Trump
thing with him was weird for me.
But you got to see, he sees himself. Okay, he doesn't see Donald Trump as the president.
Right.
He sees him as
a pawn.
I would say you see him as an equal, right? Because they're both in the entertainment industry, right?
Right.
So, and I'm not speaking for Kanye. I'm just, again, I think we make excuses for the people that we care for, the ones that we want to defend.
It's true.
But I think when he sees Donald Trump, he doesn't see the president. He sees someone as an entertainer. He's like, oh, my wife can reach out to Donald Trump right now. He's a billionaire. I'm a billionaire, right? He sees Trump as is his equal. He doesn't see Trump necessarily as the president of the United States.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. That's true.
You know, so that's what I'm saying. If, even though it's weird to us,
right?
To him, it may be a whole different thing, right? The whole slavery was a choice. I can't.
It's all weird.
That.
It's all weird, right? I don't think he's the most articulate when it comes to rationalizing his thoughts and getting those out of him into the public view. Like, I don't think he's good at that. I don't think he's ever been good at it. You know what I'm saying? But I mean, I don't know, man. Kanye's a...
I mean, think of it. He said, I'm on TV talking like it's just you and me, right? Yeah, he's straight off the brain. And, you know, he whatever he thinks or says, it comes out. And that's what he does. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, it is what it is. But I can't wait to finish, you know, watching and see what happens and how they continue to tell this story. And maybe next week we can touch on this deal that he did with the technology where... people thought they were buying the Donda 2 album for $200. Mm-hmm. You know that SpeakX, that whole project? Do you know about that? Okay, no. We'll save that for next week. But he continues to be an innovator in the music space, even at his age, right?
The one thing I love about him is he says this all the time, don't limit me to anything.
Right. Don't put me, don't confine me in a box. But, you know, ultimately, we'll see how this goes. Also, hoping the best for Kim, him, and the kids, because I really don't want to see that on my Twitter feed or in the news. So.
You think he have a crash and burn one day? You think one day we look up on the news and Kanye's gone? Right? Does he kind of feels like...
I hope not.
But it does that way, though, doesn't it, though?
It does feel like we're on that type of trajectory, right? It feels like how we felt when we thought Britney Spears was going to die, right? Yeah. It feels like, you know, we're just waiting for that moment when the notification comes over. But I am hoping, you know, not just because he's Kanye, but I'm hoping for anyone who's struggling in that mental health space that, you know, they get the love that they need and desire, and that they get the help, because I do not want to hear that track. I feel that we all, especially Black people, deserve to die old.
Yeah.
Black boys deserve to die old. Right. Black men deserve to die old. Black people deserve to die old, right? Mm-hmm. We deserve to get into those senior citizen twilight years, and I hope that for him, and, you know, we don't get that horrible headline.
Yeah, because fame just, to me, it just seems like fame is like the ultimate drug. Like that's the real drug. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah,
I'm hoping he have a happy ending, because I'm always gonna be a fan of Kanye. I mean, I can't.
Have I truly, like I said, that would be a very sad day for me. I don't want to see that on the news.
Yeah.
Much like now, how our news feed is flooded with, you know, tons of stuff coming from the... I think they're calling it the war in Ukraine, right? They're calling it the Ukraine war,
right?
Between Russia and Ukraine, because Putin is wilding over there. So we can't help but every morning to see this in our news feeds, on social media, or on the news, period. We will preface this by saying we are not foreign political pundits. We are not fully aware of all the intricate details of foreign policy. We are literally just trying to piece these things together to, you know, make sure we're aware, right? Like, I try to get at least 30 minutes of news every day. Yeah. And as of right now, my 30 minutes is flooded with what's going on in Ukraine, because it's a serious matter, you know, and people are nervous, because, you know, when do we get involved? Do we get involved? What's our role here? You know, is this Biden's fault? Is he doing too much? Is he not doing enough? You know,
we're a year and a half of just really like everything being Biden's fault. So, I mean, that's
You know, and I think with, you know, midterm elections coming up, they're going to spin this whole thing as a Biden atrocity and how he didn't get well. And so, you know, if he attacks, he's violent. If he doesn't attack and get involved, then he's weak. Soft, right? So, there's no win-win, but I will say the one thing that it's not alarming, but the one thing that is very, very, you know, just gut-wrenching is that people are trying to flee from the Ukraine and go to the bordering countries. And guess who's not allowed to get on the trains and the buses and planes and automobiles?
Nikki, don't you tell me it's the Black people. Is it the Black people?
The Black people are being denied. They are being turned around and saying they have to let the Europeans on first. And they're like, I'm European. Like, you do realize I live in the Ukraine, right? Yeah. Like, I'm a Black person who lives here and I'm trying to leave. And there's video, there's, you know, footage showing that, you know, the Black people are being told, or they're being moved to the back and being told to hold on, and you can't come right now. And we'll send another train for you, or we'll come back for you. And it's kind of like, but I can go right now. Yeah. It's, right?
What we said before the pod, the universal language is mathematics and racism.
The global universal language, mathematics and racism. I mean, that sums it out perfectly. Like, yep,
taxes and racism.
Like, seriously, like, we can't get a break anywhere. It's absolutely crazy to me that, you know, even when the way they're covering the footage, right? They are not acknowledging the Black people. They're just saying Europeans and the fair Europeans and different things like that. I saw a couple of clips today where a lot of the, you know, major news networks that are here in the States, you know, they have the foreign correspondents that are out there are still reporting it as, you know, protecting the Europeans. And I'm like, bro, Black people can be European as well, right? We're not traditional European, but if I am born in Italy, yeah. I am part of that European continent. If I am born in France, if I am born in Spain and these different countries, I am European. If I'm born in Germany, if I'm born in Ukraine, I am European, right? Yeah. As a Black person. But, you know, it's just so disheartening. It's so sad because of what's happening over there. You want to show solidarity with the people who are struggling, right, and the people who are, you know, at war and having to leave their homes and their families. And it's like, even in the midst of war, you find time to be racist. Like, even in the midst of turmoil, missiles are being launched into people's homes and into the capitals and, you know, like, all these things are happening and you still find this one pocket of time, this one window.
You can do it.
To express superiority. And, you know, I hate when people say, you know, Black people can be racist. And I'm like, no, Black people can't be racist. We can be prejudicial, which I'm not saying is a good thing. Right. We can express and show prejudice, but we don't have control of a system that continues to hold up supremacy. Right. That is what racism is. Right. And that system is in place in Europe because it came from Europe, right? The same systematic oppression that we feel here in the States happened because the European colonizers came to the States and they basically said, hey, we are going to take all of this. Thank you so much, right? Yeah. And that system continues to be upheld, right? And it's just, at this point, it's just the OGs doing it, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
The OGs are still upholding that same systemic, you know, oppression and still finding ways to shit on Black people. And it's
Be better, Europeans. Be better.
You know, I'm hoping that at some point we realize what's going on. But I will tell you that I am a little shocked that Russia is not doing well. Like, I was literally scared for the Ukraine, right? I was scared for them and what was happening. And granted, this is the very beginning, right? But I'm like, I think the 8 seed, you know, Ukraine is taking down a number 1 seed, Russia.
Well, you know, okay, so here's my conspiracy theory on why Ukraine is doing better, doing good, right? My theory is, so you remember when Biden a couple weeks ago was like, I got intel that Putin is going to attack Ukraine?
Mm-hmm.
He said that way before the war happened, right? I think America has fed Ukraine a bunch of information. So I think Ukraine has like fortified certain areas. And like they're like caught by them winning certain areas of the war, they're creating bad morale for Putin,
Russia.
For Russia. And I think what's happening is they're making Putin have to do something so vicious and violent that it ostracizes him from the rest of the world, which will put the rest of the world against him. So they're gonna force him to be like almost like him having to almost drop a nuclear bomb on Ukraine. And violate so many peace treaties that everybody fights against him. So
And then he gets kicked out of NATO, right? And Russia gets kicked out of NATO and now it's free reign, right?
Right. And I think that's kind of like what's going on here is it's like really just a P. Diddy versus that dude on that singing stage just looking at each other eye to eye. Because he keeps sending forces in there and they keep getting beat back.
Or the Russian troops are kind of like, hey, this is not what we signed up for. We were just told to come here and scare y'all. We didn't know we really had to fight.
Right.
Right.
And you know something else, though. I was thinking about this. You watched that episode of Black Mirror where they had put the implants in the soldier's brain and the soldiers could see like monsters. So they thought they was killing monsters. But then once they scrambled, Yeah, well, they had an episode where these soldiers was thought they was killing these invading aliens. And what happened was somebody scrambled the sensor within the soldier, and they could see the actual real people that they was killing.
Oh, wow.
So they stopped killing them. Well, in the story at the end, because the guy was trying to figure out why did they do this to me, and they said, because people that look like you, you don't really want to kill them. So we have to make them look like a monster
for you to actually execute.
Yeah, and they came up with some crazy stats. I don't know if those stats are real, but they were saying how many bullets are fired in a gunfight based on the people that look like, that identify with one another. So I guess it's a lot easier for people to go over and kill Muslims because Muslims don't look like them.
Don't look like them, right? But the more you look alike, the less.
But you got European
fighting. The more hesitant you are, yeah.
Yeah. So it's a lot harder for them to fight against one another, right? And that's why they like, oh, just lay your arms down, brother. You can come over and eat soup with us.
Yeah. You know, I mean, ultimately, what I don't want is for us to get involved. And technically, we don't have to because, you know, our opt-out here is because of our involvement in NATO, right? And technically, Ukraine is not part of NATO, and they would never even qualify to be part of NATO. But at this point, I think everybody is finding a way to sanction Russia and to hit them where it hurts. And at some point, someone's going to have to give. So I'm hoping over the next week or two that, you know, there's some improvement there. But
I'm thinking the British is probably going to step in eventually. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, my concern is China, right? Because China's watching this closely. Yeah. And if Russia takes Ukraine, then China takes Taiwan. And then, you know, if that happens, then now you really have a world war because now everybody's going to be involved, especially since China and Russia have been in talks and they have been, you know, China approves of everything that Putin is doing, right? Because they want to do it. They're watching this very closely and they're basically taking notes on what to do and what not to do. And that, I will be honest, has me a little nervous. And I think that's another reason why we're very hesitant to move as well. But we'll keep monitoring it, of course.
It's terrifying stuff. And I got to give it to Putin. He chose a election year to do it. Almost like Putin, he was fed information. Hey, almost like he was fed information.
Almost like he got in the group chat, right? Almost like the group chat hit him up and gave him some intel. Yeah. But
here's a great time to go to war.
yeah, man. Speaking of group chat, we had a topic come up. I think this will be our So What's Next segment, and then we can get out of here. In the group chat, there was a couple of tweets around dating, and you know, like my friends like to say, you know, they hate dating because the dating pool has piss in it. So they absolutely hate it. But there was this one girl who, like, you know, I don't know why people post their L's on social media. I honestly do not get it.
Shouts out to them, they're funny.
But you know, they do because they get the timeline going, right? You know, makes for very unproductive days because we're all in following the threads and the responses. But you know, there was this one girl who was saying that she was giving her boyfriend money to pay bills and was expecting him to pay them and thought everything was paid. And of course it wasn't. He stole, like, I think $8,000 from her or something like that. And when she confronted him about it, you know, he basically said, you know, he apologized and said, you know, he had some issues coming up and all these other things to justify why he stole from her and even took the money that she was giving him to use it on other things. So we were in a group chat talking about it, and this is the group chat where, you know, there's some married people, there's some long-term relationships, and of course, single people. And they were like, you know, how many of you have ever given money to someone you were dating? Or how many of you, you know, share your finances or share your actual, money or funds with your significant other? So, you know, I sat back and watched because I was like, I gotta see the responses as they come in. And I had to pray for my sisters because a lot of them are like, you know, oh, all of our accounts are joined or, you know, before we got married, I was giving him money and all these other different things. And I was like, I'm sorry. Help me understand. But I pose that question to you, Sam, right? Have you ever gave someone you were dating money, like, and it could be from something as small as, hey, I need $50 until next week, all the way to I've paid for their rent or mortgage or car note.
Nikki, I'm a man. Of course I've given money. Of course I've given money. I'm a man.
No, I seriously appreciate you being honest, because a lot of men will get on here and you know, cap and say that they don't do that. Man, they don't do that.
Man, I've given money. I'm not, you know, I've taken some huge L's. You know, I've been in a relationship where I've bought in furniture. I mean, we stayed together. But I did buy the furniture.
So it was a mutually beneficial thing. You bought the furniture because it was your place where you cohabitated.
I mean, I didn't get to keep it when we broke up. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know.
I might have got my couch.
Well, you're a woman. You can go get the couch.
I'm saying if I bought it, I would have got my couch. I would have. That couch would have been leaving with me.
Once again, you are the woman. You get the couch, right? Like, I remember one time I had a homeboy, and he was like, man, I left my TV over there. I need to go over there and get that TV. And he was like, called her. He was like, hey, I'm coming to get my TV. She's like, you better not come over here. And I'm like, listen, bro, I'm telling you right now, she's going to call the police. I'm telling you now, you're going to jail. I don't care. He like, no, but the reason why, I'm like, bro, I hear what you're saying, but you're going to jail. He went over there anyway. You know where he went at, Nikki?
What?
To jail.
So you were a fortune teller. You actually saw this happening. You knew it was going
to
happen.
You have to know when dealing with a woman, like, and I don't mean to say this like saying women are vicious.
Tread lightly. Friend.
I ain't trying to say women are vicious or women are this and women are that, but in the law, in the court of opinion, in law, they have upper hand. So whatever you buy, you think you're going to just get back? I mean, you have to just charge that to the game and be smarter next time. So next time, Nikki, guess what I went and did?
Tell me.
I went and got my own place and put my own furniture in there.
That is a wise man because this furniture will never have to leave. It'll leave when I want it to.
Yeah. So you have to charge it to the game. Like, I mean, you're not gonna break even. If you're any type of a man and you're putting into the relationship, whatever a woman thinks a man should put into a relationship, you're probably not gonna, in your mind, you're not gonna break even in your mind. You're gonna take a loss somewhere. In her mind, her feelings is where she lost at. So all this other collateral damage stuff is owed to her anyway. So, I mean, do I think that's fair? Do I think it's anything tangible with feelings? I don't think there's a tangible cost with feelings. But we find out every single day, some feelings are worth millions of dollars. Hell, some feelings are worth hundreds of millions of dollars. Some feelings are worth a TV.
Listen. Listen.
I mean, that's the game. You shouldn't suit up and play if you don't, you know. Like Michael Jordan said, if you want to play that way, don't play that way.
Listen, the game is the game, right? Like, that's literally what we say all the time. The game is the game. Now, I will be honest. I will be perfectly honest. And I remember before I got married, we were so young. Oh, my God. Like, I truly don't recommend getting married in your 20s. But we were so young. And, you know, there were times where it was kind of like, oh, can you get my lunch this week? And then I'll get your lunch next week. Right. The blessing in that is that he did get my lunch the next week. But the problem was like, why do we even have to do this? Right. Like, why are you even asking me this? And I remember vividly when I had to call my dad and say, hey, dad, like I need, you know, X amount of dollars. Do you mind, you know, sending me some money? Also, can you send me some extra money? Because I want to get my hair done.
Right.
And my dad was like, Nick, why are you with him? Right. Right? If you have to call me for money, why are you with him? And you better not be giving him your money. And I was like, okay. Like, because I could not tell my dad that, you know, that I did. But I will say, you know, I was so young. I don't even think I was 21 yet.
Right.
But I have learned the error of my ways. I
mean, we live in a society now where people want everything to be equal. So I've backed up a little bit on this whole idea that, you know, you got to do this because you're the man. You got to do that because you're the man. Because there's some women that they want to do these things, and that makes them feel like they have the upper hand and have the leverage in a relationship. You know what I'm saying? Like they bossing up. So I think it's like really dependent on the couple, but I'm not sharing no checking accounts, routing numbers, life insurance policies. Like none of that would ever be shared unless we get into a marriage. That would not be shared in a relationship.
Like, and that's point true. Period. That's true. I agree. And the majority of my friends who have successful marriages, you know,
matter of fact, a checking account ain't gonna be shared in a marriage either. But
that, I mean, that's the thing. They have their joint account that they use to pay for the bills, and then everybody has their separate accounts, and that's typically how it works, right? And I'm not saying that's right, wrong, or indifferent. I'm just saying that's what works for them. My point at my big age now, like I can't see me paying someone else's bills.
Right.
I can't see me giving a man money.
Right.
I can't see it. I'm not saying it's impossible. I just don't see it. I don't see it happening unless we are in a long-term type of commitment. Right.
I need to know I can make good on this investment. I'm sorry. That's it. I'm sorry.
And I'm not going to give money. I'm not going to give money that I can't afford to lend out either. Right.
Yeah.
People like if you ask me for $1,000, there's a good chance that I'm going to act deaf and mute because I'm going to act like I didn't even hear you because I'm not going to give you $1,000 because I'm never going to see that money again.
Yeah. I mean, I was in a relationship a couple years ago before my son. I was dating this girl and it's just a bad investment. It was a bad investment. You know, money just went out. Bad investment. Never got any real returns on this money.
Yeah.
And you know, I have people say that, Sam, you shouldn't look at love and relationships like this. But you know what, man? People leave out of relationships like it's nothing now. Like nobody feels beholden to you because you do something for them. So if I can't make good on my investment or what you asking me to give, I'm just going to simply say no. And I don't got to a point now, it's a certain love of woman I'm just not going to talk to anymore. Point blank.
Come on, Sam.
I'm dead serious. I'm not even being funny when I say that. Like, I ain't saying people can't evolve and get better and grow up and you can't help them. You can help them. I tell people all the time, I'm not dealing with it. Like, if I meet you and you between jobs, we can't talk. Like, we can't even have sex. I can't do it because it's just, I can't do it. No, can't do it.
Okay.
Okay. Can't do it because if you have sex with them, they feel like you're beholden.
Here's the thing, though, right? Here's the thing, because you know there's going to be somebody with a gripe and saying you're going to miss the potential. You're going to miss a potential mate. Or
I miss.
You know, that's a chance I will take.
I have to take the chances.
Well, you know, I'm not going to disagree with you because I am a big proponent of, you know, dating above your tax bracket. You know,
you can do that. Yeah.
I have said that on multiple occasions. I mean, men can do it too. I mean, you said it kind of, you just said it pretty much, right? Like there's a certain level or a certain caliber of person that you will not date or entertain at this point, right? Because you have goals, you have aspirations, you have things that you're striving to. And if this person is not at a certain standard or a certain level that is suited for dating, you're basically saying, okay, no, I could be your friend, but that's it, right?
Yeah.
I'm literally saying the same thing you are, just in a different terminology, right? I'm basically saying date above your tax bracket because you're going to get a different caliber of person at or above your tax bracket, right? I mean, there's still going to be some foolishness and debauchery out there, but I say all that to say, at our big age, I think it's just wise for us to consider.
We in our 30s now. I mean, I'm in my 30s, man. Like,
yeah, and I'm older than you, so
oldest dating a 26 year old that's trying to find her way in life and shit, like, man, no.
I hear you.
That's for a millionaire. That's for a billionaire.
I had to tell people too, though. The only way I was able to get to this stance is because, you know, I got married young. I've had kids. I've, you know, built the career. I've done a lot of these things where I've checked the box, right?
Right.
So for me, saying I want to date this caliber of person is a little bit different, whereas some of my friends are still, you know, wanting to have, you know, these long-term marriages and they're still wanting to have kids and they're still wanting these different things out of life. And I tell them, you know, hey, you don't have to settle, but, you know, before you give a man money, I would appreciate if you call me first. Like, Like, before you do it, you know, just let's chop it up to make sure this is a wise decision. You know, to each their own. I was just saying that I was a little bit surprised, and I'm sorry, group chat, if you hear this, at some of the women who were basically admitting to,
man,
giving men money before they were even married, before they were even in relationships, Nikki, right?
It blew my mind. We was on the timeline. We had the flyout story with the girl, all these girls saying how they had gave this dude money, flew him out to come see her. And I'm
he flaked on a couple of them, right?
Flaking on them. I'm like, look at this dude, look at these women. I'm thinking to myself, bruh, I need to be a volume shooter. What am I doing out here? Nobody's out of my league.
Nobody, look, you gotta be Kanye West in these streets. Okay.
I need you ultimate confidence.
You gotta attack with the level of confidence of a Kanye West.
Nikki, because this man
was cleaning up on the timeline. And I'm talking
96
about
96 Bulls, Nikki.
I'm talking about these Jordan. Weren't like fives and sixes. These were sevens and seven and a halfs and above.
I'm gonna get me an auto-tune song. I'm going to say I'm a singer. I'm going to get me a little auto-tunes going. Put one track on Apple Music. I think that's what reeled them all in, to be honest with you. But this dude was out there winning. People talking shit about this dude. I'm like, yo, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
If Wilt go for 50-50 and 20, 10 games in a row, just because he get beat by Bill Russell don't mean he didn't go 50-20 and 10. I mean,
those stats still mean something.
Everybody don't get to win a dynasty of championships, okay? Everybody can't be, you know what I'm saying, Jay-Z and Dr. Dre, but for this guy, he was Jeremy Lin. You know, he had a Jeremy Lin run. That shit still count.
It still counts. We still tally that, okay?
John Starks dunked on Scotty and Mike. That shit happened. The points count. So
yeah, man.
Shout out to that guy.
When I saw it, there wasn't anything. There wasn't anything that was like super appealing about him. I think when you look at, because they were posting the text messages and the DMs, and when you read it, he was charming. He was funny. He was engaging. It wasn't like it was a, you know, I'm gonna come blow your back out, or you know. Nothing, none of that, you know, and based
on Nigerian
off
that lies, alone, no Nigerian lies at all.
Nothing, no Tindler Swindler, none of that, you know. He just literally was like, hey, I'm gonna come see you. He may link up with you, he might not, he may flake once or twice, but I mean, like, it was crazy to me. I'm like, are we so die hard for attention and attachment that we're willing to accept
anything?
You like no, you're laughing, and I'm so serious because I am concerned for my sisters. I am concerned for my girls because I
decided at that moment, Nikki, I've been given too much respect. I have been too respectful in the streets.
You've been playing by the rules. You've been playing by the rules. Meanwhile, these other folks don't even know rules exist.
These boys are shooting from the concession stand, Nikki. They not even waiting to get on the court.
Yeah, they not even shooting from half court. They shooting from the parking lot.
Yeah. I'm just like, dude, it's really going down. I didn't even know. Like, I knew Twitter was like somewhat of a dating app, but I didn't know it was like, Tinder on 1,000.
Yeah, man. And that's the thing. Social media makes things a little bit more accessible, right? Like, people who you wouldn't normally engage with in California or Arizona, right? You live in New York or you live in North Carolina. Like, imagine engaging with somebody in Arizona that you didn't even know exists. This young lady, I forgot her name, but she just shared her story on TikTok and on Instagram, where she's like, the love of your life could be in another country. She's like, I literally saw this guy's picture, was enamored with him, found out where he lived in the United States, connected with him on social media, and now we're together. And I was like, that's beautiful.
Right.
That is the exception. That is not the norm. Like, don't do it. Because next thing you're going to know is that he's going to say that his enemies are after him and he needs $50,000.
Yeah, right.
So,
So the more of the story, Nick, is that, you know,
shoot with the confidence of Steph Curry.
Shoot, man. You're Michael B. Jordan out there, bro. Just shoot. Just shoot, 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 shoot. You two can have a Lori Harvey.
You too could have a Lori Harvey.
What'd you say? That's some people crazy. Just look in the mirror and just lie to themselves. Just go lie to yourself. You good. Like what Rick Ross said about that cow lady, you good.
You good. Because that cow surely thought he was about to die. That cow thought he was going out to pasture, honey. Like
good.
That cow thought he had saw his last day, thought he was on the way to the slaughterhouse. But no, I'm hoping that, you know, I wish everyone well in their relationships, in their dating endeavors. I really do. But please don't give no man no money. Anything else before we get out of here?
If she want to give you money, take it.
Oh my God, here we go. The yin and the yang. Anything else before we wrap up, Sam Moore?
No, man, this was a great episode. Happy to be back on with you. I know the weekend, the last 2 weeks, it was kind of crazy with the holidays and everything. And so I'm glad to link back up with you.
You noticed I didn't ask you anything about Valentine's Day intentionally. Yeah, friend. Right. So yeah. Anyway. Valentine's Day.
Never heard.
But don't worry about it. We'll talk offline. We'll talk offline, friend. You know, but Nick, no,
you'd be look. Great as you shake up apartments.
Duplexes.
I'm sorry. Checking up townhomes.
Duplexes. All that fun stuff. But man, thank y'all so much for tuning in to So What's Next, where we talk about things that matter today that we won't care about tomorrow.
I've been wide awake for about a month now, grinding it up. Mama done told me money easing, like, boy, get your ass up. Chewing up, I put in the work now. Blessings counting up. Look at them haters frowning up. So I flex to rile them up. Hey, look at my boss, spending the cars. Check my flaws, you can ignore. Come to the house, give you a tour. Take your shoes and dirt on my floor. I love the taste. She wanted more, she wanted more. Out of the rain, the blessings coming in pour. Yeah, I spent the bag on a bundle. Turn around and take a flip and make it double. Listen.